End of intermission. Part two.
Time to run.
Welcome to the Extra Mile Podcast, Jeff Galloway edition. You have happened across the only podcast completely dedicated to learning and mastering the Jeff Galloway Run Walk Run training method right from Jeff himself. Jeff's Run Walk Run training method has been developed and evolved over many years using feedback from nearly 500,000 of your fellow runners. This podcast will run walk run you gently through Jeff's training methods to get you to the finish line of your next event or simply help you run to your 100. So lace up those running shoes and let's get moving.
All right, so you know, some of the best questions and resulting interviews that I get for this episode is from Facebook, off of Facebook. And very recently, I got a question on Facebook about a new product by the name of Oladance. So I reached out to that company and asked for some more information. And we have with us today as a special guest, Dennis from Oladance. Dennis, how are you today?
I'm doing great.
Very good. Thanks for joining.
Yeah.
So the question, somebody reached out on Facebook to our Facebook group and asked us if we had ever looked into your product. We have had several running earbud companies on the show in the past, and you guys are a relatively new, I think, running headset company. So you were kind enough to send me a unit, and I've been using it probably a couple hours a day because I walk and I run each day for the last couple of weeks. So I'm intrigued by it. So I asked to come on. Thank you for joining us. And to begin with, tell us who you are, what your role is within Oladance.
I'm glad you like our product. You're using them. And I'm Dennis. I'm the marketing director for Oladance. And I do their overseas marketing in the U.S., Japan, and Southeast Asia.
Good. So tell us a little bit about Oladance. How long have they been around, and how did they get started?
Yeah, you're correct at the beginning, because we are really new, the new company, compared to the big names like Bose, like Shox, like Beats. We are a new company. We started on a Kickstarter campaign in 2021, at the end of 2021, actually. And so after that, we think after we hearing the feedbacks from the Kickstarter community, and we think that is really it's really suitable for us because what we trying to deliver is a earbud that you will use for more than 2 hours a day. that's what we're trying to do. And after the Kickstarter campaign, when we hit on Amazon, we find a lot of people like our product. So we just fan out to go global. I think it's in April, we started selling on Amazon. Right now we're selling globally in US, Europe, South Asia, and Japan.
So I kind of argue that your real competitor in the big guys that you mentioned earlier is probably Shox. So with that in mind, and remembering that we're just an audio podcast, so you might have to describe some things a little bit. Tell us about the Oladance wearable stereo. Exactly, describe them to us.
Oh, okay. So Shox is definitely our competitor, but we are going on a different path.
Okay.
Yep. The founding team of our company, actually, they are specialists from Bose. They have experience over the headphone industry for more than a decade. So for us, we just want to create an open earbud that is extremely comfortable and also protect your hearing. So the start of the idea is actually coming from the pandemic period, because for pandemic period, we have to work long hours at home. Because the founding team, we have families, we have children, we have families. Yeah. So we have to stay with our earbuds for a really long time during the day. So that's why when we want to invent an open earbuds, because that concept is actually brought by Bose. They create the first pair of open earbuds. And then we find out that when we create the earbuds, it actually can suit more than work from home scenario. When we go out for jogging and we go out for running and biking, when we develop the product, we think for runners and bikers, it's actually a more suitable product. That's why we invented All Advanced open earbuds or All Advanced wearable stereo. Because we think that when you are running and biking, you actually need to stay connected to the world. It's really safe to do that way. And also, one pain point for bone conduct earbuds is that when you are hitting a noisy environment, it's really hard for you to hear clearly because they are working in a different way by vibrating on cochlea. But we actually create an earbuds that can make you hear clearly in a noisy environment. That's why we are using a different kind of technology.
Okay, so these units, for the listeners, if you picture just a very small unit that's kind of fits behind your ear, and then the speaker itself doesn't push into the earbud like some of the other ones and kind of give you that feeling like maybe you're underwater, that kind of thing. This one sits just on the outside of the ear and then kind of sends that sound down the ear canal. So you're hearing like God intended, right? As opposed to vibrating the bones on your cheeks.
Yes, that's why we want invented the open earbuds. So the open earbuds, which means the whole earbuds never get into your ear canal. It just sit right there. And because it's sitting right there, it's also give it more space for the dynamic drivers. Because for traditional earbuds, the dynamic driver is limited to the size of ear canal. This one has 4 times bigger dynamic driver. So also the sound can be much clearer when you sit there. And also for that, that's quite interesting idea, though, is that for earbuds, we use air conduct instead of vibrations. Mm-hmm. That's also one thing that we are different from Shark's, from the bone conduct earbuds, because they are using vibrations directly going to a cochlea. But we, like you said, is the God-intended way. We're just acting like a small speaker sitting on your ear. So it's actually passed through the voice into your eardrum and then to your hearing nerves. So it's actually protecting your hearing. Because for traditional earbuds, they get into your ear canal, they create a closed chamber. So when you listen to it, first your ear canal is not breathing because it's been clogged. And also for when you listen to a loud noise, or when you listen to a loud music, it's actually it's hurting your or it's harming your hearings. Mm-hmm. And also for bone conduct earbuds, because it's using vibrations, they directly directly conducting the voice into your cochlea. This part in there, they're using 3 small bones for you to hearing and all the hearing nerves in there, because it bypassing the eardrum. So sometimes you don't feel that the voice is too big. Yeah, that's how we try to protect your hearings.
Right. So the two things I noticed immediately was number one, that the ear fatigue piece of it. When I run with some of the other ones, you do push them in and then it clogs up your eardrum, right? And after a very short time with me anyway, it does, you know, I'm tugging on my ear and it does hurt a little bit. In fact, what I typically do is I only put one in and I leave the other one out. And then after a while, it starts, you know, fatiguing a little bit. I'll put the other one in and swap it and that kind of a thing. So there's zero fatigue with the Ola Dance. And the other thing I noticed was the quality of the sound, especially if I'm listening to music. You know, if I'm listening to someone talk, it doesn't bother me so much with the shocks, the quality of the sound. When I listen to music, these things sound just amazing. It sounds like I'm sitting here listening to my stereo in my home, as long as, you know, it's not noisy in environment.
Yeah, I think that's I have a perfect example for you.
Please.
For this too. Okay. One of my friend just got pregnant, and his husband decided to quit his job,
okay,
taking care of her. So right now he's a full-time daddy at home.
Okay.
But he likes to listen to podcasts and music. He's a big fan of podcast.
Okay.
but before he met Ola Dance, he always like what you did, put one ear and the earbuds in here, make him aware of what his wife saying, using another ear.
Right.
But then he used Ola Dance, so right now he can cooking in the kitchen, but while listening to what his wife is saying, and also stay alert from other things that's connected. And also for him, he's also like because we know each other when we riding bikes. I like bikes. I'm into bikes a lot. So he used to use bone contact earbuds, but when we going down the hill, because the wind noise is too big,
right?
We just don't hear anything when we're using bone contact earbuds. So we used to turn the volume into 100%, but we still cannot hear anything,
right?
And because Ola Dance, we are using it's more like a small speaker in there, because it's not going into there. So the driver is much bigger. So we actually can hear everything, but still stay open and alert of the environment and stay safe on the road.
Very good. Let's go over briefly some of the features so that the listeners can compare the unit to basically the Shox Open Run Pro. The Shox, as far as the weight goes, are 29 grams. Yours come in at 12, just under 13 grams each. So they're actually lighter, right?
Lighter. Yep.
That can be big. Battery life. I'm very, very impressed with the battery life of Ola Dance. What is it?
The battery life is 16 hours on a single.
Yeah, and I can promise you it's at a minimum of 16, because I plug these things in, get them charged, and then, like I said, I wear them a couple hours. I go more than a week. I get 16 hours out of them. I get scared when they get low, you know, because so I plug them back in. I don't run. It's like driving my car on empty. I don't do that with my headsets. So 16 hours is amazing. They come with a case. And to be clear, the case does not have a battery in it. So the case is used to charge it. However, you can order as an accessory a separate case that gives you additional hours to charge that, right?
We have two kind of cases. Again, we have our earbuds is with a 16 hours battery life. So we think you can take out for a short trip, like 3 or 4 days. We don't think you need to charge it. So we create a lighter case, which only acting as a carry case without battery in it. And we also has a case that's selling separately, with a charging case that gives you 96 hours of battery life in total.
That's crazy. 96 hours is crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, but in most cases, I think people are satisfied with the 16 hours.
Yeah.
They can, like you said, they can, because we recommend is if you using 2 hours of earbuds per day, you should try our product, because you won't have to charge it every week.
Right.
You don't have to charge it every day. You charge it every once a week. That would be enough.
That's exactly what I end up doing.
Yeah, and also on the weight part, our earbuds is lightweight because we don't have a bridge that's clamping on your head. So that's saving a lot of weight, and because it's really soft in there. Aside from the open part of the earphone, that doesn't cause any ear fatigue because your ears breathing. It's also really light, so you don't feel tired when it's hanging there for a long time.
Yeah, and the other thing I liked about it without the little strap in the back is when I lift weights, I'm laying, sometimes I lay down on a bench, and you can't do that with a strap going across the back. So with the Olin Dance, I can, you know, it's easier for me to work out. In fact, when I use the shocks, I end up taking them off on if I'm going to work out.
Yep. Our aim of creating this product is we don't want you to feel that it's there.
Mm-hmm.
That's how we create this product. Because traditional earbuds, you feel something that's in your ear, and for shocks, you feel something that's it's vibrating. For us, we just want you to feel that you have a stereo. That's what we call a stereo that's surrounding you, but you don't have anything that's clamping on your ear or your head.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me, because I've got another set of headphones, the older version that like cups over your ears, and they sound amazing. But they don't poke in your ear either. If you just take those and like pull them away from your ears a little bit, so they're not touching anything, the sound is very much like that. It's like true open ear earbuds. The water is fully waterproof, right?
So. It's IP4. I think it's sweatproof and lightweight proof. It's not totally waterproof. We don't encourage anyone to go in the rain. That would be.
That's not good.
That's not good.
Okay. Yep. Describe the controls. I think the controls are unique on these, with as opposed to other ones that have like tactile buttons on. You press this button for louder and that kind of thing.
Yeah, we have a sensor that is on the side of the earbuds, and you can tap on it, and also you can slide on it. Actually, you can modify the settings on your app according to your habit. It's either two, double tap for answering the phone, three taps for switching the music, or you can do it in three taps for switching for answering the phone. It's actually customizable according to your habit, and also you can slide up and slide down to change the volume. So it's more, I think it's more intuitive.
Very good. Warranty. Describe the warranty. How long were these things? What's the warranty on these?
We offer 12 month warranty, and also for us, we offer a 30 days guaranteed return. So if you feel anything at all, you're not satisfied with the product, you can always return.
Free 3-day shipping. I got mine immediately, just about. Very good shipping.
Yeah, we ship. If you buy on Amazon, I think you will. If you're an Amazon Prime user, you probably can get it next day. And for our website, we're also sharing the same logistic as Amazon. So it gets in 2 or 3 days.
Very good. It's a unique product. I've not seen anything in the market like this. And I'm very, very impressed with it. $150, give or take, $150 US. That comes in $20 or so cheaper than the Shocks Open Run Pro as well. So it's cheaper too.
Yeah, it's cheaper too. And what we describe as a new species for earbuds, because there's a lot of earbuds out there, especially for true wireless earbuds and also like bone conic earbuds. There's a lot of new bone conic earbuds that's coming up. But we kind of like a really special species.
yep. You're a niche market, we would say.
A niche market. Very good.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also, or for the price, I think right now is $149, but we do have a special promotion that's going on in Black Friday and Cyber Monday.
Very good. And where would you recommend we look for the promotion?
Amazon.
Okay. So if we go to Amazon on Black Friday, there's going to be a promotion for these. Where can we go to find more information about the product itself?
You can go to our website. Our website is olladanceshop.com.
Very good. I will also put that in the show notes. So if you're out running right now and you don't want to write that down, check out the show notes for that website. Also, make sure you check out Amazon. Dennis, I'm going to let you go. I love your product. Thanks for coming on with us today. And it's for the listeners, well worth your time and money to check these Olin Dance wearable stereos out. I appreciate it. Keep us in mind for the future stuff. We'd love to have you back on the show and have you describe to us what new products you have. Thank you.
Thanks.
Have a Have a good one. Take care.
You too. Have a good one.
All right. So welcome back to the Extra Mile Podcast Runners Roundtable that we've been doing every now and then. I have a lot of fun doing this, and I've got some new folks on the at the table with us today. Let's go around the table and introduce you to everybody who's joining us today. First, let's start with Titanian Tim. Tim, how are you doing today, buddy?
Wonderful, Kevin. It's great to see you again.
Great to see you again. Tell everybody a little bit about who you are, where you're located, and how long you've been doing this whole running thing.
Okay. I live in Signal Mountain, Tennessee, and I have been running continuously since 1987.
Whoa.
So a few years. And I'm currently recovering from a crushed big toe. So it's had to defer several races.
Is there a fun story behind the old crushed toe thing?
Not at all. No. It was a gate on a trailer was dropped. Yeah. But the good news is it only got my big toe, nothing else. So
gotcha. What's the time frame for to get you back outside for that?
So it's been 8 weeks. I have been running the whole time since probably 1 week, much to the chagrin of my doctor. I go back tomorrow. I hope he releases me, but I had to defer from New York in a couple of weeks. So I'll do it next year. So, yeah.
Well, good luck with that.
Thank you.
Thanks for your joining us at the table today.
My pleasure.
Next to you is Sherry. Hey, Sherry. How are you?
Hey, Kevin. I'm good. How are you?
Good. I'm sorry I missed you in Dayton a few weeks ago.
Yeah. What happened there?
I was hiding under one of the tables at the Expo Center and you walked right by.
Oh, I see. You planned it again, did you?
Planned it again. Yeah. Tell everybody about who you are, where you're located for anybody who might not know.
I'm Sherry Witt. I'm located in Ventura, California. I'm a program director out here for Jeff, for Galloway. I help in many different areas. I have been running since I was 49. I ran my first marathon when I was 50. I've only ever used the Galloway method. Otherwise, I wouldn't have been able to complete the marathon. And after that first one, I was one of those people who went, ooh, squirrel. And I kept signing up for races. And so Chris, as my customized coach, pretty much bangs his head against the wall when I'm trying to do speed work. And I'm like, oh, did I tell you I signed up for another race? It's called Witt syndrome, I guess, for people. Yeah. Whenever I have time, I sit on my phone and I go, ooh, that looks like a fun race. And the next thing you know, I'm signed up for it. So there's a little bit about me.
Gotcha. Welcome. Thanks for joining. Tommy. Thanks for joining today, Tommy. Where are you at? And how long have you been running?
So I live in the Midwest in Iowa during the week and Missouri on the weekends. So I'm from a little bit of everywhere. And I've only been running for a couple of years. I started about the same time as my dad, about 2 to 3 years ago, and have also, like Sherry, only used the Galloway method. And I've also been known to get infected a time or two with Witt syndrome.
Really? You should move away a little bit from the table. Maybe you should move to the other end, away from her. tell me something. How did you find the Galloway? And is the Galloway method what got you started running, or is it the other way around?
I have a neighbor who got me started running, and she was using the Galloway method. And that's what got me started. And actually, she doesn't run at all anymore. And I have just continued on with it.
Good for you. Are you close to Council Bluffs? That's the only part of Iowa I know.
I am on the opposite side of the state, right on the Mississippi River.
Gotcha. Well, welcome. Thanks for joining.
Thanks for having me.
Mike, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing very well. Thanks for inviting me on.
No problem. Thanks for coming. Where are you located? How long have you been running?
I live up in the Twin Cities, have been running since technically December of 1991. And I got started by wanting to leave my mother-in-law's house one Christmas, and it's the only activity I could do to get out of the house. So when I learned how to run.
I'm surprised a lot more men don't run for that reason.
I will stay silent on that, but my mother-in-law even laughs about it today.
You're in the Twin Cities. Have you done the Twin Cities Marathon?
Yes, just finished it for the 17th time.
Whoa.
And so...
Well, you and I ran that together then one year. I got to think about what year it was. It was like 97-ish, 98-ish, something like that.
I think. So sure I ran it in 97. Was it hot?
No, the year I did it, it was not very hot. And no,
it's okay.
Gorgeous, absolutely gorgeous. I'll have to look it up and figure that out. So,
yes, it's one of my favorite marathons. I've done Grandma's a few more times. But
ah, Duluth. Yeah, well, welcome. And kind of a permanent spot here at the table. I've got him in a chair where his legs actually are screwed to the floor, so he can't get away. Chris Twiggs. Hey, bud.
Hey, how's it going, Kevin?
Good. How have you been?
Oh, better than I deserve. I'm trying to remember the last time we chatted, but...
it might be Dayton.
Gosh, I've done a bunch since Dayton. Had a good...
Dayton was only about a month ago, wasn't it? I feel like.
Yeah. That was a couple of half marathons and a London marathon ago.
Sherry talked about WIT syndrome. You've got it as it relates to this 100 mile, 110 mile thing you've got going. So I saw this morning, maybe it was yesterday, you signed up or you put your name back in
the lottery for Hard Rock. Yeah, that's... They've changed the lottery this year. And so half of the spots will go to people that have never finished the race before. So I'm not eligible for one of those. And then of the spots that are going to those that have finished before, there's no distinction between people like myself that have a lot of finishes and people that have one finish. We're all in the same pool. It's still a weighted lottery, but they're giving just as much weight to people that have applied but didn't get in as they are to people that got in and finished. So it's interesting. I think it's probably my worst chance of getting in ever, but nobody feels sorry for me.
I think we do. We would write a letter to somebody because I think that I don't like that idea.
But everybody that wants to get in has a crowd of people around them like you folks that want to see them get in and do well. So I'm not going to disparage those that are likewise in the lottery. We'll find out a little over a month from now in December is when the lottery happens. So
have you, do they ever publish how many folks got into the lottery versus how many they let in?
Yeah. I mean, you can go right now. You can go to Ultra Sign Up and pull up the Hard Rock. Hard Rock 100.
So give us an idea. How many folks typically try to sign up by the time and how many?
In the neighborhood of 3,000.
Oh, my. And how many did they let in?
For about 146 spots.
Yikes. Well,
yeah.
Good luck with that.
Thanks.
If you don't get in, Sherry's got some ideas for you.
Yeah, I was just going to say.
Some other stuff.
Yeah. You should do a race, a 100 miler that we all can join you in. You could be our pack leader.
Hey, or you guys could all come down and run the Donna 110 that I put on. And
we could do that too. But if you do the Hard Rock, then you won't do the other. So maybe this is our opportunity to run with Chris. We should do hashtag run with Chris.
That'd be fun. That'd be an interesting thing. Find a race for me to do.
Yeah. Okay. No.
That's between you and Sherry. Leave me out of that one. I'm hard stop on that one.
Oh, I'm looking now.
You won't even stick around and see Sherry when she shows up in your own town. So
she was sure not in. Yeah, that was.
I showered that day. I showered. I looked lovely, and I couldn't find you anywhere.
Oh well, next time.
Yeah, that's what you said last time.
March. What are you doing in March? Around like the 18th, 19th, or something of March next year.
I'm gonna be at Jeff's place running his race.
Okay, it's a date. I'll see you there.
Ha. Okay. You all heard it.
It's on tape, but it's in bits and bytes. All right. So let's get started. What I want to do this on this roundtable is just go around with some, I threw together a few questions. that we runners talk about from time to time. And I want to go around the table and just do a potpourri of some things that I'm interested in. And actually what I do, I hope to figure out what you guys like and then maybe emulate or use some of it. So my first question, and I'll go around the table and ask, is the favorite time of year to run and why? And I'll just give a spoiler alert. Mine is like right now, today. But I live, you know, like much like Tommy and Mike, we live in an area where in Tim that the leaves change and it just looks gorgeous. So I know that's not the case down in Florida and in California. So let me start with you, Tommy. You're in Missouri and Iowa. I don't even know what fall looks like out there. Two states I don't think I've ever been in, but in any case, what's your favorite time of year and why?
So, and it is beautiful right now. I just ran a trail race this past weekend that was absolutely stunning with all of the colors. So this may come as a surprise, but I can't have a favorite because I love the fall colors, but then I also love the peacefulness of running in a new fallen snow. I love the excitement that spring brings. And even summer with its heat and sun, I love getting out and getting a good long run in the summer.
Nice.
So sorry, I can't.
It's okay. I'm writing down here. Tommy is easy. Okay, I got you. Well, thank you for that. That does make running a lot easier if there's not one, at least one particular time you really dread getting out there. Tim, what do you think, buddy? You're in a summer part of the town. It's gorgeous. Summer, really?
Oh, I love running in the heat.
Do you?
Yeah. Pair of short shoes and a shirt and a hat and off you go.
I mean, a skosh band. You need to skosh if it's summer and it's hot.
Well, yes, that goes without saying. But right. Yeah, no, I don't like being cold. So I don't, in the summer when it's 95 out, you just go slow. And yeah, I happen to enjoy, you know, the South and the hot runs.
Right. Mike, what about you? Minnesota.
My favorite time is the spring when the snow and ice are receding. But kind of like Tammy, I run year round, so I appreciate all the seasons, each for a different reason.
Nice. Mr. Twiggs from Jacksonville, the Florida. And I know I can attest to how hot it gets. Amanda told me one time it's African hot down there.
Yeah, it does get that way. It does get that way. I like the heat. I like the summer. Run. I'm not the best person to judge how hot it is in the summer because I spend a lot of my summer in Colorado where it's nice and cool in the mornings.
That's true.
But to me, summer running really does mean I get to go to those mountains and I get to climb those mountains and run down them and just play. So that's in a way that's why it's my favorite. But even here in Florida, I mean, one of my favorite things to do is go for a nice long run, finish up at the beach and then walk
into it,
take the shoes off and then walk right off into the waves and cool down by soaking in the water. It's just a wonderful thing to do. So those are things I can't do that in January very easily. The water gets cold here.
Very good. Sherry, how about you? You're in California.
Yeah, we have pretty great weather here. We're pretty much 70 and sunny year round with overcast in the morning. And we have maybe 30 days where it gets really hot, maybe. And it breaks it up too. So we like 2 weeks in the summer, you know, we have a week right around Thanksgiving, a week somewhere in February. It's weird. But I really enjoy, and this may sound weird, when it's hot, we'll start running at 2 a.m., for instance. Mm-hmm. And it's so balmy out. We put our headlights on. We have our Knox gear and whatnot. We're all lit up and blinking. And we go out as a group and we meet and we run in the dark. And it's just so quiet and very peaceful. So I really enjoy that. But I don't have a specific time of the year because we run all year long and we just enjoy it. Sometimes when it's winter out here, I did quotations with my fingers if you can't see, but it'll be maybe 45 or 50 when we start, which is, you know, perfect. I wear like five layers. I've got gloves on. I've got my
45 degrees.
Yeah. And then I take it off as I run. I know. But I grew up in Minnesota. So you'd think I would be okay with the cold, but I am not. So I like to be warm.
So there's just not that much difference between your four seasons.
No,
that's true.
When they talk about, you know, what you wear at 50 degrees, you know, singlet and shorts, I'm like, oh, brr, I would freeze. So.
So kind of related to that, I'm going to jump ahead on my list here because it is kind of related. I assume at some point, all of you do run on the treadmill. And I'd like to know if you have any tips or tricks, because we're getting ready, at least here for some of us, other than Florida and California, to hit some cold weather. And I know at least I do try to go outside as much as I can. But if there's ice and snow and that, I'm not going to run in that kind of stuff. So I do hit the treadmill. I'd like to know if any of you, how you survive running on the treadmill, or do you not, is it not a matter of survival? You just love the treadmill. Tim, how about you, buddy? I know it gets nasty there where you're at.
Short of there being a thunderstorm, I don't run on a treadmill. I go outside. I'll just put on the rain gear and go out on the trails. We're pretty fortunate. We don't have real, you know, really bad cold weather. And when it snows, I'll just put on the trail shoes and just go out and run that way. So the only time I ever really run treadmills when I'm traveling, and I don't, you know, you're in a hotel and you don't have any choice.
Yeah. Yeah. So that tells me you just don't enjoy the treadmill at all either.
It's not a lot of fun. No. It's not a lot of
fun. I'm right there with you. I'm right with you. Mike, I know you get nasty weather up there in the wintertime. Do you run on the treadmill? What do you think?
I usually run on it maybe once or twice a year, usually to remind me of how much I hate the treadmill. And that prompts me to say that minus 20 snow and ice isn't really that bad to run.
So you still go out in Minnesota during the winter?
Yeah, when I first started running here, I learned that we plow our bike paths, and we have a lot of bike paths in Minnesota.
Oh, yeah.
And we do it year round. So technically, there's hundreds of miles of trails I can go on that are paved, and then you get all the woods and everything else. So yeah, I go out. My limit's 40 below, with a wind chill 40 below, and a temp usually at least 20 below. It's just a matter of dressing.
Have you ever tried those? Are they called yak tracks? Am I saying
I do,
right?
But I don't like those. They work really good if you're on ice, especially solid ice.
Mm-hmm.
But what I use that works like 99% of the time is just the sheet metal screws in my shoes.
Oh, yeah, right.
And then if I hit glare ice, they usually keep me from wiping out. And so that works great. And it doesn't mess up the running gait or anything else. The biggest issue running in the cold is wind direction. And if you go on a long run, the fact you got to deal with your water freezing. Oh,
water freezing on a run. Well, when I lived in Minnesota for a while, this was before the invention of hair blowers, hair dryers, right? And I used to get up in the morning when I was in school and wash my hair. So we didn't care. I had to go across the street about two streets over and a couple of houses down to sit at a friend's house and wait for the school bus. And my hair would freeze by the time I walked to his house. So I know it gets cold up there. Oh, well.
Yeah, the biggest issue we always have in the winter, at least, is the darkness. That it tends to be, when I was working, I'm retired now, I would go to work in the dark. I would leave work in the dark. So when you were running, unless you snuck in a run at lunch, it was in the darkness, which makes seeing ice a little more problematic.
Understood. Chris, do you ever have to run on a treadmill?
Yeah. Probably. Yeah, sure. You know, I run on the treadmill sometimes when I'm traveling, and if I'm in a hotel in a strange area and I need to get my run in, but I don't know where is a good place to run.
Mm-hmm.
I'll run if it's, you know, tropical storm conditions here. Obviously, I prefer to run outside. I like to run outside. I think it's important for us to acknowledge that, you know, it's a male privilege to be able to run outside kind of whenever and wherever we feel like it. My wife gets a lot more use out of our treadmill than I do, because there are times that she feels like it's safer to run inside, sure, even our neighborhood. Yeah. So I think there's nothing wrong with the treadmill. There's certain drills that are really good on the treadmill that are probably better on the treadmill than out on the road. And also you can crank that. I have no hills here. And so I can crank the incline up really high on my treadmill, and I can get some climbing in on that that I can't get anywhere on this island.
Right.
So I don't mind it that much. I prefer to be outside, but I'm probably on the treadmill a few times a month.
So when you're on it, it's not a treadmill to you. Is that what I'm hearing?
No, not at all. Not at all. It's, you know, you know, if I need to go, a lot of times if I need to go on a treadmill for weather purposes, instead of doing it here at the house, I'll go to the Y, and where there are, you know, a dozen treadmills, and I can say hi to people and chat with the folks on the treadmill next to me or walking by. So there's a social, I can get that social aspect that I love from running. I can still get that on the treadmill if I go to the fitness club too.
Sherry, you ever on a treadmill? And I imagine if you are, it's just because you feel like it.
I love my treadmill, actually. I am one of those people who really enjoys it. I make up games. Like Chris said, speed work is so much easier on the treadmill. And when I'm trying to work on not slowing down, like running 2 minutes, and then like for race pace ratios, figuring out. So if you have to run 2 minutes, I can set my treadmill, and my treadmill will make sure my body will naturally tend to slow down. There's like that point where your body just starts slowing down, and it won't do it on the treadmill. So it makes me aware of when that is. I have games. I do 200 hard, 200 easy drills. I do fast, slow cadence at one speed. I do hill ups, hill downs. I do mom on there. I can do, I do my cadence drills on there, my acceleration gliders on there. I absolutely love it. And I just make up games on the treadmill. So, because like Chris said, if I have to go out, usually it's in the dark, or, you know, I have to do some work or something. And so the hours I have to get on the treadmill, the weather may be either too warm or it might be dark. So I just get on there. It's easy to do my midweek stuff on the treadmill. So I really am grateful that I have one to do it on.
You don't get bored? Do you watch TV? Do you do anything, or do you?
I listen to music. I have like a really, I bought one of those Vizio bars, you know,
the sound bar for your
TV, but I put it in there. And so I crank it up, but that's how I came up with all those games. That's how I figure things out. So I'll be on the treadmill and I'll go, okay, I'm going to set my treadmill at, let's say 4.5. Mm-hmm. And at 4.5, I can still walk and I can still run. So I can work on my foot turnover and do, you know, if I want to do 30, 15 like seconds and not have to toggle between two speeds, I can set it at a speed where I can do both running and walking with minimal bouncing by just changing my stride length,
right,
and shuffling. So I just make up games on there. I enjoy it. Like I'll go, okay, you know, like the mom where you have to do 1 mile a minute slower than the 1 mile, at race pace, and the 1 mile, 1 minute faster or whatever than race pace. I do stuff like that all the time on there just to mess around with it. And, you know, and I work on my walking speed. So, no, I don't get bored, but I don't do 13 miles on my treadmill either. I want the social aspect there. I won't spend more than, if I had to do 8x1 mile repeats by the end of that. Yeah. I'm not wasted, liking, huh? Yeah. I'm not a fan of it because I like to talk. I don't know if you knew that.
No, I didn't. That surprises me.
And it's, I don't like my own answers. So I prefer to talk to other people.
Thank you. Tommy, what about you? You ever get on a treadmill?
So I do. And I have a treadmill at home that I really like. It's a Nordic Track with all of the, you know, you can do the fun programs where you're running at the Baltic Sea or wherever. And I do enjoy that actually quite a bit. Like Sherry, not more than 8 to 9 miles on the treadmill, anything more than that. And it starts to be a bit much. But I also, where I am during the week, I don't have my own treadmill, but I have access to two different gyms. And so I'll go to the gym, and usually if I'm at the gym, I listen to a podcast or sometimes even do watch TV. So I don't mind it. I don't love it. I love to be outside. I love trails, but it's certainly a good tool to have in your toolbox.
I envy that in all of you, because you folks that can run on that treadmill without getting bored, like 8 or 9 miles and I'm killing myself. It's a 3 mile run on the treadmill. I just can't do it. I've tried everything. I'm watching TV, listening to music, podcasts, but just doesn't work. So I'm very rarely on that thing.
The Extra Mile podcast is very wonderful to listen to.
That one puts me to sleep on the treadmill and then I end up flying off the back of it. But I appreciate
it's enjoyable.
I appreciate the commercial. You think I'll buy you lunch or something in Atlanta, don't you?
I do. I'm plugging for that.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's move on. What's your favorite race and why? This one, I'm sure, is going to be tough, but I'm going to ask you to pick one and see if you can each do that. Because every time I've asked Jeff this question multiple times, and his answer is always the same, that, you know, he can't pick just one. And I get that. You know, there's one that's the most scenic, and then there's another that's the most encouraging, et cetera, et cetera. But I'm going to ask you guys to give it a shot. Let's stay with you, Tommy. What's your favorite race and why?
Well, I haven't done nearly as many races as probably all of you, but so far my favorite race has been Cedar Breaks at night. It was just, I say it was beautiful. It was beautiful when I saw it during the day before and the day after. At night, you couldn't see anything but what showed up with your headlamp. But it was just such a feeling of accomplishment. It was my first trail race. It was my second half marathon, and it was my first nighttime race. And it started at 11,000 feet, had another 1,400 and some in elevation gain, and then ran back down to 9,800.
Wow.
So just like my brain exploded afterwards. There was just this overwhelming sense of accomplishment.
Nice. Nice. So with you, would you say it was because it was kind of a hard race and you accomplished something? Is that why you liked it so much?
I think so. I think so. And just even in training for it, I just have developed over this summer such a love for the trail. It's just a completely different experience than a road race.
How does one run a trail race at night? That's got to be tough, huh? Just with your headlamp.
Yes. Yes. It was very tough. I kept trying to get behind people that had like reflective clothes on so I could kind of see what was coming up ahead of me. But there were a lot of injuries at that race.
Did you stay on your feet the whole time?
No, I did not.
How many?
I fell twice. The first time about a half mile in.
Oh, that's tough.
But I've learned over the summer how to fall really well without receiving major injuries. So
gotcha. Good for you. Thank you, Mike. Maybe yours is the Twin Cities 17 times. What do you think?
I have to actually give the nod. I'm kind of like Jeff Galloway, though, because I've done trail races, 50 milers and marathons in other states. But I based on the number of times I've done it, it has to be Grandma's in Duluth. And it's mainly because it's my first marathon. Lake Superior is gorgeous. There's nothing quite like finishing and going into the lake afterwards. And then Chris can actually experience what cold water is like, because it's usually about 35 degrees in the summertime.
Oh, gosh.
Once you get below the surface a little bit. Anyway, it's just such an event to do. It's unique because the marathon takes over the city of Duluth, and you run along Lake Superior for 18 miles, and you head into the town. And it's just like a relatively easy but enjoyable race to do.
Nice. Sherry, I'm almost positive you've done Grandma's, right?
Yes.
Do you concur with what Mike says?
Okay. So I'm not that much of a fan of Duluth.
No.
I grew up in Fargo, the Fargo-Moorhead area. And I think for me, I love the race, but I think that it's such a pricey race to do, because the hotels are super expensive. So you can stay at a Best Western and pay $500 a night, you know? So I love the race, the course, but I'm not a fan of the city. We had, our family is from there originally, but for me, I have, so my very first race was the Fargo Marathon. So I think that will always have a, you know, I got to my girlfriend and I, who introduced me to Galloway. We ran through our hometown. You know, we ran through the streets that we used to run through, you know, we were growing up and
without the police chasing you this time, but
but my bucket list was running Athens with Jeff and Barb, Marathon. When you get to run the original marathon route with an Olympian, it's pretty special, you know, and I got to run the whole thing with them. And nice. So I really, and, but for, because I'm a veteran, I think that my overall favorite race would be Marine Corps. That one to me is so special just because of the Blue Mile and our nation's capital. And it's such a great patriotic race and so well done. I'd have to say that my top would be Marine Corps.
I might agree with you on that one. I can recall it just gave me goosebumps. I'm running along. And I remember running at the time I did it, I assume they still do it. It ran in this tunnel underneath the Pentagon. And all these Marines would run up to you. Are you okay, sir? Can I get you anything, sir? And just talk to you. And I'm like, I came home wanting my two older sons to go into the Marines. It was just so inspiring. It's a good race. Very good.
Yeah. I enjoyed the Minneapolis Medtronics race, but when I did that one, it was like 30 degrees at the start. They start over by the Vikings. And it was, and my feet got numb. So for the first, I think 5 or 6 miles, I couldn't feel my toes, you know, and I was wearing the wrong gear. So I thought I was wearing cold gear, but I was wearing cool gear. So that gear meant to keep me cool, not keep me warm. So I kind of had that was my fault, but it was a beautiful race.
Chris, have you ever, this is a tangent, but have you ever run a race of any distance with Jeff, like Jeff just did?
Yeah,
I get the sense, and I've never done that. I went on maybe a 4 mile fun run thing when I was down there for one of your program managers deals in Atlanta. But I get the sense when he's out there on a run, he's not a talkative. He wants to hone in on what he's doing. Am I wrong? Does he gab the whole time?
It's. You're running royalty when you run with Jeff Galloway. And so they're constantly people saying hello to him, taking selfies with him, asking him quick questions. And he never turns anybody away. He's always happy to chat with them. In fact, last year during one of the Disney races, and this is why he doesn't do very many Disney races. One reason he doesn't do very many Disney races anymore. He was getting absolutely swarmed by people, and so they actually, there was a somebody who ran with him who was just running with him as a friend, but the guy happened to be physically intimidating, and so the guy was effectively a bouncer for Jeff Galloway,
his bodyguard,
and kept people from getting too close to him and knocking him over or things like that during the race. But no, he's very sociable the entire time. And probably runs an extra 5 miles in a marathon because of all of the weaving, saying hello to people and smiling for selfies. Right.
You no doubt, if we were going to come up with a list, you no doubt probably have the most, maybe the most races, but certainly the most diverse kind of races, I would think. Just got back from London, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So yours is probably really hard to pick out your favorite race. What is it?
I mean, we already talked about it. You can't
Hard Rock?
Well, I've got 1600 miles on that course.
Yeah.
Not
including the training.
Not including the extra, and certainly not including the training. No, double that, more than double that with the training. The only race that comes close to it in terms of how many miles I've spent during the race itself would be Disney. I have done the Disney Marathon, all 29 previous incarnations of it. And so in January, that'll be my 30th straight Disney Marathon, which I'm attached to that. I'm going to do that every year. I'm going to do the Donna every year. I'm going to do Jeff's race every year. There are lots of races. I love Bird in Hand. It's just an amazing race that is new to me. Last year, this year was my second year doing it, but I love that because of all the extra milers that show up and all the customized folks that show up. And now we've got people with from our friends over at Rise and Run podcast that do it. And I know Runny Drink folks are planning on doing it next year. So it's kind of a big reunion as well. But I mean, I've spent more of my life at Hard Rock than I have at any other race. And that's the race that I dream about every night of my life.
Well, now I'm feeling really bad for you if you don't get in this time. I can't even joke with you about it anymore.
It'll be okay. I will survive if I don't get in. I will be very, very sad, but I will survive.
Tim, how about you, buddy? What's your favorite race and why?
Oh, it's got to be the Atlanta's Peachtree Road Race.
Oh, yeah. You and your whole family do that, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's turned in. I went to high school and college in Atlanta, and then I've run it the last 35 years. And then we've gotten our family. We go back. We volunteer. My dad has run it the last 33 years. Wow. All four of my children. In fact, I think my son, who's 39, has done it. Let's see, 25 times. And in a year and a half, my grandson will do it. So my dad's planning on having all four generations doing it in 24.
That's crazy. That is so cool.
Yeah, it's pretty neat.
That's a no-brainer then for you, isn't it?
Yeah, we go back, and it's interesting. I happen to see, usually we work Wave A, which is at the start, and I have run into Jeff at the start a number of the years and had a chance to talk to him. So, you know, he's one of the originals. So he's always up front when he does run, but we're up there, you know, working the race. So we get to see him. So
One of the originals. He's the original, isn't he?
Of the 110. Well, he won. He won the first race of the 110. Yeah.
You see, he was the first finisher of the Peachtree. Right.
Is that crazy to think about? That's just nuts. When you talk about running royalty, it's just crazy. I'm going to have to look back because you and I have run a couple of those together too. I did at least two. I might have done three back in the late 90s. This was
first one for me was in 88. So I've run every year since then. From the time it was 25,000 in 88 till now, well, prior to 19, we had 60,000. You know, so it's a lot of fun.
I got back to my kids were down there. My kids were just little tykes at the time. And I got back after that race and they had watched on TV down there. So I got back to the hotel and they were sitting there and it was still going on actually when I got back into the hotel. And one of my boys looked at me and said, "Dad, you let a girl beat you." There were thousands of girls who beat me.
Yeah.
Nice race. Yeah. That's a bucket list if you haven't done that one either.
Yeah.
Last question. How do you motivate yourself to run when you would rather stay in bed? And if you come back to me and say that's never happened, I'm going to cut your microphone off and we'll just cut you out of the whole thing. It happens to every one of us, I think. Tim, let's stay with you.
You know, where I see getting out of bed, it gets hard or to go out for the daily run is when I've run too much. You know, when you've run day after day, week after week, and you know, you're putting in the miles and your body, I mean, it's your body telling you need to stop. And a lot of times I just don't listen.
Yes.
But I usually just suck it up because I feel so much better after I run. So, you know, yeah, you feel bad. You got, you know, the sniffles or you sore throat. But you go out and you run and you feel better. So you say, well, I'll just get out and go. But it's tough some days. You know, okay, usually it's your body telling you need to take a break, but
I totally agree. You know, and Jeff's advice on this one, I think is spot on. He said, don't tell yourself you're going to go out and run your 3 or 5 miles. Just tell yourself you're going to put your shoes on and go out and I'll run for a couple hundred yards. And he said, by the time you get done with a couple hundred yards, you're feeling better. And you say, I'll go on. That works for me perfectly. Yeah. Sherry, what about you?
So I probably have a little bit of a different spin on that. For my first 3 marathons, I trained solo because the person I was running with lived in Maryland. And that was really hard. I was not very good at being accountable to myself. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to lie.
No.
But
since your coach is sitting here right with you.
I know. So what made me accountable was I said to myself, what can I do? I want to run with people. I'm a social runner. I enjoy that aspect. So I became a program director. So my group keeps me accountable because I know I've got people waiting for me. And I know if I don't show up and do my run or do my midweek work, they're watching. So it's very, when you have a group of people that you have to be accountable to, it helps you get out there because, you know, it's like we have Strava and we have all these tools people can see, and then they give you a kudos or they say, hey, good job. But for me, it's my group. It's the people I run with. They're my running family. And, yeah. You know, when I go to these races and sometimes I'm not feeling it, I'll find someone who's not feeling it and we'll strike up a conversation and we'll finish together.
Right.
So for me, it's the social aspect that keeps me accountable.
Very good. Tommy, how about you?
Well, for me, it's really a customized training program. So I am a chief compliance officer in my day job. And I, so if Coach Twig says you need to run this much on Tuesday, then I'm going to run that much on Tuesday because it's in my nature to do what I'm put to follow
right,
the rules.
Right.
But it has very much helped me just stay accountable, knowing that if I skip my run, I'm going to have to put that in final surge. It's going to show up. And not that Coach Twiggs ever like has beat me over the head or anything, because I've not met him in person. But I do very much that the CTP has very much kept me on track and motivated, even when I don't really want to.
That is a great response as well. Mike, how about you, bud?
I have an advantage. I'm retired now, so it's not an issue. But before I retired, what I used to do, and unlike some of the panel, I'm not a social person when it comes to doing my training runs. I like to run alone. Mm-hmm. I like racing with people, or at least starting with them, but and discussing. I love talking to runners. But when it comes to actually doing things, I like the solitude of the trails or the pavement. And what I used to do that helped me a lot would be, I live south of the Twin Cities, and the companies I've worked for are either in the middle of the Twin Cities or up on the north side. And what I used to always do is run on my way to work. So I'd drive somewhere and go to like a club, get a run in, and then continue to drive into work because then I could beat traffic and everything else.
Interesting. Yeah. Good idea.
I'm also a little OCD when it comes to my numbers. So much like I think it's Tammy. Once I commit to a plan, I kind of do it no matter what.
Yeah.
And try to stay on plan. Although I'm not probably where Chris Twiggs would want me because I don't really follow that close of a plan anymore. Because I learned many years ago that only I care about my times. Everyone else just is happy to know that I'm still running.
Good point. Very good point. Chris, what about you? Are there ever days you don't want to go out? I mean, you live in paradise.
I do. Yeah, I mean, there aren't days that I don't want to get out and run. There are days that it's hard to get out and run. There are days that I've been up late working and I have a hard time when the alarm goes off in the morning. I want to roll over and hit snooze. And I'll tell myself, oh, I'll get that run in later. I'll probably get it in at lunchtime, or I'll probably get it in whatever. And things come up. The busyness doesn't go away. And if I don't get that run in first thing in the morning, there's a risk that it's not going to happen. I did not run first thing this morning because I was up late last night working. And I took a risk, but I got away with it. I got my run in right before we did this meeting. So there are definitely times that I find it hard to get out there. I do prioritize getting out there, and I wish I were better about getting out first thing in the morning. And one of the things that motivates me to do that is I know there are people watching. I'm in a bunch of Strava groups, and some of them are with customized folks and some of them are with other Galloway folks, and I'll get comments and kudos and those sorts of things. And I can't tell you how many times I've finished a run and I haven't even made it inside the house yet. And Nate Wagner has sent me a text message congratulating me on my run.
Yes.
So I know that there are people that are noticing when I run, And they're not, they don't get a notification that I skipped a run, but sure. I feel like they're paying attention, and I feel like I want to make sure that I'm being a good example, because what kind of coach would I be if nobody ever saw my runs and nobody ever knew what I was doing and if I was doing anything? So I really do take my training seriously. I take my racing seriously. I realize I probably care more about my finish times than anybody else, but I know other people see my finish times, and I want to make sure they're as good as I can be. Whether it's when I'm pacing and I want to nail my time as a pacer, or my one or two times a year when I'm trying to hit a Boston qualifying time, or those sorts of things. So Those things keep me honest.
Whatever it is that we probably all share, whether it's being anal or that feeling where you don't want to skip a day, and you're not going to feel worse physically, but mentally you're going to sit and then the nighttime comes and you're sitting like, oh, I didn't get out today. Whatever that feeling is called, sometimes do you find yourselves, you wish you didn't feel so strongly that way? Because I mean, many times a day off is better than, you know, back to Tim's point, you know, but yeah, I still have that feeling. I didn't run today. Well, maybe you shouldn't run today. Do you guys ever get that feeling like you wish you weren't so strongly tied to this thing and having to get out every day or however many days it is? Anybody?
Go ahead. Well, I had an interesting situation because I had to have surgery earlier in the year, not running related. And I couldn't run for, I think it was I don't remember. It just felt like forever. I couldn't run for forever. And I was very cranky about it. And then when I got the clearance to run, I got COVID. So I was, never take your running for granted. I will say that, because when you can't run is when you really miss it. So that also was a great motivator for me, because I thought, you know, remember back when you couldn't run, you couldn't do anything that had any type of, you know, movement. And,
it's a blessing.
It's a lesson, because, you know, we have to take our rest days. We have to, you know, and that's what Galloway is all about. It's about taking your rest days and, you know, doing your runs on your run days. But when you can't run on your run days,
it's tough.
It's miserable.
Tim, you had something to say about it?
When I broke my toe. I mean, I couldn't run for a week, and it was, I had a 20 miler scheduled that weekend. And I'm thinking, I got a marathon in 6 weeks, one in 9 weeks, and I couldn't run. It was killing me to sit on the sofa with my foot up.
Yeah.
And I'm back running, whether I should be or not, as much as I am. Yeah, it's horrible. Just to, it's such a joy to run and then to be forced, and you feel great, but you have an injury that prevents you from going out. Yeah, it's tough. It's very difficult for me.
Hey, Kevin, I'll jump in too.
Yeah.
Galloway kind of saved me, is the way I'll frame it. I used to be a Jeffish kind of person. I read his book back in like 91 or something. It's like one of the first running books I read. And I kind of poo-pooed the run walk, and I would justify, you know, to walk through an aid station or something.
Right.
But about 3 or 4 years ago, I got sick. And ever since then, I actually can't run much more than about 90 seconds before I'm out of breath.
Mm-hmm.
And if not for Galloway, and then listening to the podcast, Jeff has emphasized walking is good for you. And so on the days where I couldn't run, I will just get a walk in, and it's evolved me. But thankfully, Galloway has kept me out there, and it has kept me understand perspective. So
good point. Don't you guys feel sorry for people who don't run? Seriously, that sounds funny to say, but I hope they have something else that's good for them, and that they is a passion like that. Chris?
No, I mean, yes, that's exactly right. They have to have something. I was, I recently had a doctor's appointment, and was talking to the doctor, and it was my first time meeting her, and asked what I was doing and whatever. And I mentioned running, and she said, oh, I wish I liked running. And I said, well, it's okay if you don't. Mm-hmm. you know, what do you got to like doing something. Maybe what you like doing is golfing, or maybe what you like doing is cycling or swimming. We need to exercise. That yeah. much is true. And so if you find something that you like to do and it is exercise related, and so it keeps you in shape and it gives you all of those positive, the endorphins and helps you cope with stress and all of those things, then that's all that matters. It doesn't have to be running. It's great that it's running, and there's nothing that I've found that I like nearly as much. But you know, I have friends that are avid cyclists, and they, you know, cycle all up and down the Florida coast and super long distances and things like that. And they just, they really, really love it. And I certainly have friends that fish, and I don't find that to be terribly athletic, but they get a lot out of that. So running isn't for everyone, and we shouldn't try to force it on our family members or our friends. But we can certainly encourage it in people that are curious or interested. And so what I love about Galloway Method is that there are people that say, well, I tried and I just wasn't good at it, or I didn't like it at the time or whatever. And it's the Galloway Method is certainly a way to bring people in that want to try it, and they may find joy in doing it that way, as opposed to running continuously, which might have been what they were forced to do by some coach in middle school. But it's okay that not everybody is a runner. It's really okay.
Sounds like blasphemy to me, but I'll take your word for it, 'cause you're the coach. Yeah. So I'm going to let everybody go, but before I do, first of all, I appreciate you, sitting down at the table with us today. But before I let you go, I want to ask if you guys all have, any thoughts about, the JG 13.1 in March. Is everybody at least either number one going to be there for sure, or on the fence, or do we have any no's? Who's not done it before?
Tommy, I have not.
Mike and Tommy, you two are the ones that have not done it. So let me ask the other. Well, Chris, I know you are coming this year, right? You're going to be there.
I'll be there. And I hope with the change in date to March, I hope it means a lot of people that couldn't go before are going to get there.
Right. Tim, you're in this year?
I think so. I think it works out much better in March.
I agree.
You know, I it's 2 hours, so I think I might drive down. And in fact, Kevin, maybe you can pick me up as you drive down.
You know what? No, I'll probably fly this time.
Oh, okay. That's the thing.
But
coming down 75, you can pick me up.
Yeah, maybe I'll think about that. Yeah.
But I'm thinking I can drive down. It's pretty simple to get down there and then turn, you know, see everybody and then turn around and go back home.
Right. Sherry, you're a little bit further away than a 2 hour drive.
Yeah. So I think I've got 5 or 6 of my group going this year because of the new date change. So we're real excited about going. As a program director, we are encouraged quite strongly to attend. So I have attended multiple years. And then when COVID hit and they didn't have them, I did it virtually. So we always either do it virtually or attend in person, but we do try. I do anyways. Every year to set an example for my group, because prior to COVID, people, they were like, well, virtual races, that's just a waste of money. But then COVID happened and now virtual races are the thing. So it's also a great race to do virtually. If you cannot attend, you can still run it and feel like you're part of the whole thing, you know?
So that leaves us with Tommy and Mike. Tommy, you did raise your hand. You're thinking about it, huh?
No, I'm signed up. My husband and I both are doing the 5K, and then I'll do the half marathon.
Oh, nice.
Well, yeah, super excited about it. Although I may be the unicorn. I kind of wish it was still in December, because it falls for me right after St. Patrick's Day, it's right after St. Patrick's Day,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, so I'll be coming just back from a trip to New Orleans and then turning around and going. But I am very excited and signed up for the VIP. Can't wait.
Oh, good for you. Oh, well, make sure you stay tuned for all the meetup stuff that we got going on next year. Definitely. So, Mike, where does that put you? You on the fence?
I would be on the fence. I've always looked at it. And my last job I had, I was actually flying down Atlanta all the time. And so I was running around, always was staying in Midtown and running the park. And I started thinking about more and more. And so it's just a matter of finding a flight and all that. And then I also have to get over something my wife wants me to probably get over anyway, which is I would only sign up for marathon or beyond. And so it's just a half marathon. Yeah. Was always my mindset. So, but I am starting to think about doing more half marathons as I'm getting older, because they are just a lot simpler to do.
You know, it's a point to point race, which means if you wanted to, you could start early at the finish line and just run the route backwards to the start and then run the half with us. That way you're getting your money's worth out of it.
I could, but then it doesn't technically count as a state and I still need Georgia. But anyway, I may still do the half because it would be a lot of fun.
I promise you, you'll have a lot of fun. I guarantee you'll have a lot of fun.
I am with you though on the half marathon thing, but this is the only one I do. I only travel for marathons, but this is the only race, and Chris and Kevin can correct me if I'm wrong, that is put on by Galloway, fully supported by Galloway. Every pacer is a run walk pacer, and everybody, 90% of the people there are using run walk. There's always like that, those few people who live there who were like, why is everyone like running and what is that? You know, I get those questions all the time and I look at them like, you live here and you don't know who Jeff Galloway is. So you educate along the way too. And it's amazing. It's such a fun race with so many Galloway people show up. You want to do it at least one time in your life.
Well, March makes a lot easier. And when you talked earlier, Kevin, about running into Jeff Galloway, I actually ran into Jeff and Barb running Grandma's 1 year. Mm-hmm. And I, like most people, disrupted him and chatted with him for a few minutes. Didn't think about taking a picture. But he was just such a nice guy. Easy to talk to, so enjoyable. So
what you see is what you get, period. Yeah. You know, there's no facade with Jeff. So, all right. So I'm going to let everybody go. I appreciate your time today. I look forward to seeing all five of you at the JG, and we'll get together and break some bread. Thanks a lot for joining, everybody.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you. Kevin.
Well, there you go. Episode 9.5 A and B. Good stuff, huh? And more good stuff. It's always great to catch up and chat with Jeff Galloway after way too long. Podcasts can be so inspiring, but I promise you there's nothing as inspiring as having a live conversation with Jeff Galloway. So I would encourage you to track Jeff down and chat with him live and in person. Maybe, actually, the best place to do that will be in Atlanta in March at the Jeff Galloway 13.1 weekend. And I'll say the exact same thing for a chat with Chris Twiggs. He somehow always takes what are sometimes just my statements or my feelings. He turns them into a question and then gives the perfect run, walk, run advice. And by the way, he'll be in Atlanta with us in January as well. Again, probably the perfect time to catch up and chat with Coach Twiggs as well. I will add to the show notes the Mind of a Marathoner video that Chris discusses in this episode. It's really an interesting and fun workout. So check out the video and let us know what you think. Thanks again for our friends at Ola Dance for joining the episode. I gave Ola Dance my honest opinion after we chatted, And here's my honest opinion for you all as well. After using the stereo headsets for 2+ hours per day for almost a month, here's my honest opinion. First of all, the battery life is amazing. You really do get 16+ hours before you have to plug this thing in, which means you can really go away for, I don't know, probably several days and not worry about having to take a charger along with you. So A+ for the battery life. The sound is probably the best stereo sound that I have listened to on any running headset. And I've been lucky enough to have quite a few different models. The sound is very, very good. The price is comparable to any comparable headset. You know, if you're going to compare them to a top-of-the-line running headset, $150 is right in line. You can find a cheaper Shox model, but you're not really comparing apples to apples. The $150 price point is right in line with the comparable model of Shox. I do have only one downside to the Olidance, which I did share with that team, and it has to do with the controls. The controls can be problematic. I have never been a fan of the touch controls with respect to any of my running gadgets, if you will. For some reason, for me, they don't do that well when they get wet. They certainly don't do that well when I'm wearing gloves or if I've got a hat on and covering up the headsets. I've had the same issue with my iPhone, with my Apple Watch, and with some Garmin models as well. I just want that tactile feel on my running devices. Do you know what I mean? I want the sense of touch. I want hard buttons. So I know that my friend Just Plain Dave and I had a conversation some time ago when he was looking into a new GPS watch and was having that issue with his Garmin. And I believe he settled on a Coros watch for the same reason. You have to reach down and go out of your way to make a hard press to stop or to save or to advance and that kind of thing. So I pass that along. Like I said, I just want that sense of touch and the hard buttons with my running devices. However, that having been said, it's definitely worth checking out if you don't have an issue like that. I will post in the show notes where you can find all that information, or just do a search on Olidance and reach out if you have any questions about that product either. Before I let you go, there is some big news from our friends at Skoosh Bands too. Skoosh is partnering with a very popular compression and sports apparel company by the name of Zensa. You're probably well aware because they are very big in that space. Skoosh is teaming with them to offer the Zensa X Skoosh Band. It's available in fluid art or the Zensa Blue pattern. And I will also put that in the show notes for this episode as well. That's big news for our buddy John at Skoosh Band, so check that out as well. And that's all I got. I would like to thank Jeff and Coach Twiggs. I'd like to thank Dennis over at Ola Dance and all of our lovable extra milers who took part in the Extra Mile Podcast Runners Roundtable this episode. And keep your eyes peeled over at our Facebook page for the next episode. I'll be reaching out shortly for volunteers to sit down at the table with us for the next episode. And like I said, it will soon be Thanksgiving here in the United States. And I won't belabor the point other than to say once again that I am very blessed and thankful for all of my Extra Mile Podcast friends. And as that wise man Charlie Brown once said, what if today we were just grateful for everything? Until the next episode, everyone take care and enjoy your extra mile.
Joining us for this edition of the Extra Mile Podcast, Jeff Galloway edition. Please visit our website at www.thegallowayextramile.com to see the show notes for this episode of the podcast. You can email us with your feedback about the show or send your audio questions for Jeff or Chris to podcast@jeffgalloway.com. Thanks for listening, and until next time, enjoy your extra mile.
Still there?
Yes, Johnny.
You see anything yet?
Well, no. There's quite a crowd, though. Where's the big guy?
I don't know where Carlson is, but we're coming to you right after this record, okay?
Okay, no problem. I can handle it.
Okay. It's real close. All right, fellow babies, and now it's time to go to our live remote man on the scene at the Pinedale Shopping Mall for the big WKRP turkey giveaway. So, take it away, Les Nessman.
This is Les Nessman, your man on the scene here at the Pinedale Shopping Center, where the excitement is mounting. We're here to witness the big WKRP turkey Thanksgiving giveaway.
Hey, you got permission to be out here?
What?
You're blocking my store here, buddy.
Don't you know who I am?
Huh?
I'm Les Nessman. I won the Buckeye News Hawk Award last year.
Good for you, Buckeye. Now get out of my doorway.
I'm sorry. Creep.
So far, so good, huh?
I'm here with hundreds of people who have gathered to witness what has been described as perhaps the greatest turkey event in Thanksgiving Day history. All we know for sure is that in a very few moments, there are going to be a lot of happy people out here. Now, the crowd is... curious, but well-behaved. And I think I hear something now. The crowd is moving out into the parking area. And, oh yes, I can see it now. It's a helicopter. And it's coming this way.
A helicopter?
It's flying something behind it. I can't quite make it out. It's a large banner. And it says, Happy Thanksgiving. W-K-R-P. What a sight, ladies and gentlemen. What a sight. The copter seems to be circling the parking area now. I guess it's looking for a place to land. No, something just came out of the back of the helicopter. It's a dark object. Perhaps a skydiver plummeting to the earth from only 2,000 feet into the air. Second to the third. There's no parachutes yet.
Skydiving. they are, but... Oh, my God, they're talking! Oh, Johnny, can you get this? Oh, they're crashing to the earth right in front of my eyes! One just went through the windshield of a parked car! Johnny, this is terrible.
The car is running around pushing each other? Oh, my goodness! Oh, the humanity! About the turkeys are hitting the ground like sacks of wet cement. I don't know how much longer the crowd is running for their lives. I think I'm going to step inside. I can't stay out here and watch this anymore. No, I can't go in there.
Children are searching for their mothers, and not since the Hindenburg tragedy has there been anything like this. I don't know how much longer I can hold my position here, Johnny. The crowd.
Les, are you there? Les isn't there. Thanks for that on-the-spot report, Les. Those of you who just tuned in, the Pinedale Shopping Mall has just been bombed with live turkey. Film at 11.
Les, are you okay?
I don't know. A man and his two children tried to kill me. After the turkeys hit the pavement, the crowd kind of scattered, but some of them tried to attack me. I had to jam myself into a phone booth. Then Mr. Carlson had the helicopter land in the middle of the parking lot. I guess he thought he could save the day by turning the rest of the turkeys loose. Gets pretty strange after that.
Now it gets strange.
Yeah, right.
No, Les, come on now, tell us the rest.
I really don't know how to describe it. It was like the turkeys mounted a counterattack. It was almost as if they were organized.
As God is my witness, I thought turkeys could fly.